Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I left you saying clap clap on the Patreon as well.
Yeah, clap
clap. Clap clap clap. We're jolly and happy, but I was depressed and sad.
I know there has
before
been
I got
now.
On this call. Big vibe shift.
A vibe shift. You're in a robe. I love to see that. We're so jolly because we have lots on the horizon in the next 2 weeks.
I can't believe I see you on Monday. It's all come so fast. Like, obviously, I just, yeah, it's that ADD thing of like not thinking about something or like knowing something's happening logistically, but not thinking about how fun it's going to be. And then basically we just jumped on the call and I was telling Grace, there was like two deleted messages in our group chat and they were like 10 minutes apart from me. And it was because I sent her a text when she was asleep. And then I was like, no, I'm going to make it a surprise. And then I sent her another text and then deleted it and was like, that's also a surprise. And then, yeah, I've just been getting so excited about the wedding and the hens and finally found my dress.
Very exciting. It does feel like it's giving like end of like school holidays on the horizon. It all feels fun. I think when you're in the fog of like planning, everything feels like stressful and it feels like you like lose sight of the thing that you're getting stressed to plan. And then suddenly when it's around the corner, you're like, oh, this is just lots and lots of fun for multiple weeks.
Yeah. And I know it also just like, I think when you're thinking about things like catching a flight, packing, looking up who's going to look after the animals, all of those things, you don't think about how fucking fun it's going to be literally on Monday when we're boozing it up at your hens.
Boozing it up at the hens. I'm very excited for the hens now. It's going to be fun. I did something really funny and really unforgivable. Did I already say this on Patreon? I don't think I did. Which is that I booked myself a business class Eurostar seat, but like all the people that are coming are just on the same train, but in economy. Because I booked so last minute that it was like, I think it was like £65 difference to get business. And I was like, I'm getting it. So I'm just going to be.
Oh my gosh. Wait, this is so bridesmaid.
I know, it's really funny. Because I was like, I just.
So what, you're just going to be by yourself up there?
I'm going to be by myself up there.
Get someone else, get one other person to.
I put the feelers out, but the seat's sold out.
That's so funny.
I did think at the time that people would be able to upgrade.
Okay.
But they can't, but I might sneak them in.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I wish I was coming on the Eurostar, flying direct to Paris.
Maybe I'll get my like free glass of champagne and crepe and then sidle down to the plebs. Yeah.
But it's so annoying how all the seats like completely fill up because they book you by seat, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I just kept thinking about the last time Kate and I got the Eurostar to Paris. We were like shoved in those seats where you're facing one another with two people. And the man just spilt a can of beer on Kate's laptop and didn't apologize. And it just like stopped working. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I had like a vision of that when I was hovering over the should I or shouldn't I.
Yeah.
But of course it wouldn't Definitely. Have been a beer. It would have been just my pals.
Yeah, very, very funny. We were just talking about like outfits. Well, we briefly talked, we released the Patreon early this week, as you guys might have seen, because we just did a post-Met red carpet debrief. And that's gone out. Also, admin-wise, we're going to take 2 weeks off the main because Grace is getting married.
Yeah.
And deserves a little holiday. But we will carry on Patreon. So
that's from the week after next. There. We're going to do next week. Yep.
Yeah, we're going to do next week in Paris live.
Live from Paris. Live from the hens.
And then
we're roaming so Mike.
We like honestly feel like we can never take any time off. It's like we should just take your hens off as well. Like we should just be hanging out as friends.
I know. That's true.
Okay. We could just do Patreon, honestly.
Sorry, guys.
I do feel like, you know, I think time so to just too. Be friends. Also, we've been discussing for so long, but just haven't done it yet, moving our main episode to fortnightly.
Yeah.
And doing Patreon weekly. So that might be happening. It's just a warning.
It's like, is this officially on the record?
I feel like it should.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we should break the fourth wall. You guys can hear our conversations about it.
Yeah. Because it's a lot. Like, I went for a hike with my friend this morning. Because I've been up since six. Yeah, that's why when you saw me in the robe and you were like, if you want to do later because you're tired, it's fine. And I was like, I've been fucking hours. Yeah, I went on this little hikes in LA though are like it was a 45 minute walk with a slight incline.
It still counts.
And she was like, oh, is it podcast day? And I was like, yep. 8:30 a.m. every Wednesday and Thursday. And she was like, twice. And I was like, yeah. And she was just like, every week. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And it just is a lot with our other jobs. And I loved you guys so much. But if you loved us, you'd pay the price of an oat milk flat white in this cost of living crisis.
I know. We are booked and busy. Weekly. It's true.
It's also just, yeah. It's like, I feel guilty when I haven't done enough research to... or put enough effort into the pod that week. You know, it's like, there's a guilt element of it too.
Mm-hmm.
We get super busy with other shit, like deadlines and stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So we'll see you guys in June.
So who knows, but you definitely deserve some time off and just some fun time in Paris with your friends.
It's going to...
I think everyone will be fine with that.
Yeah. It's going to be sexy. It's going to be fun. We're going to a cabaret show.
Yeah, I've never done that before.
Neither have I. It's going to be the kind of thing we're going to get there and love.
I'm getting you a stripper.
I would be down for that.
I'm literally going to do it now. I'm telling Grace all the secrets.
I know, I'm finding out all of the secrets. I'm the same. I can't keep a secret.
I can't keep a secret. Oh my God. I'm like, I've got a secret. Do you want to know?
Someone has to know.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I like told her something. What I wanted to do for her wedding, and now I'm gonna have to just come up with more secrets.
You have to come up with more surprises. You have to come up with two surprises now.
I spent so long searching for a dress, and I feel like it's so impossible to find something when you
are looking.
Mm-hmm. I just could not for the life of me. And then I went on like rental sites because I was like, oh, maybe I could just rent off that. You know how in the UK there's that really good rental site, Her?
Yeah, has good shit.
Has cool stuff. And then I found all these dresses and opened all these tabs. And I was like, oh, great. I'm going to rent one for the hens. I'm going to rent one for the night before the wedding. I'm going to rent one for the wedding. And then I went back and just didn't like any of them on third glance.
I do feel like with rental, in my experience, like they just push you just to the point of being like, nah, with the prices. Like I feel like if they were 10% kinda, cheaper. I've just found whenever I've looked to do it and then it actually gets to check out where it's like, okay, realistically I need... 4 days and then there's a clear, like, then it's suddenly whatever, 280 pounds or something, whereas when you clicked on the tab it said 105. Like, I always just find it gets to that point where I'm kind of like,
yeah, shipping, cleaning, I see what you mean.
I
haven't gotten to that point. I've just been looking at the first page. So, but yeah, I found a cute dress for your wedding, but also just want to, also weddings are funny because they're obviously like very stressful for the bride, but I was thinking about how other people feel this pressure to look really not like, to look really nice too. For the past couple of weeks, I've been like, you need to eat healthy, you need to exercise, like, it's Grace's wedding soon. And then I said that out loud to Chelsea, and she was like, yeah, it's so fucked up how much pressure women feel around any wedding.
It's so true. I know.
But it's really weird. Which I've never really thought of before, because I haven't ever, I guess I haven't felt like this about another wedding, because I haven't really been to ones I've cared about or something as much. Sorry, friends. Like, in that way of, I don't know.
It's a special, yeah, it's, yeah, I know. I was thinking, I just had this, like, vision of you and I, like, spinning around, being drunk and, like, putting it on the close friends. And I was like, it is cute. Like, the girlies are part of the big day too.
I know. I was thinking that too. And I was also thinking the other day about how it sucks. I wish we were in Instagram era of 2018, because like I just don't post shit on my grid anymore, and I'm like, imagine if it was Instagram era 2018, you were getting married, there'd be a fucking 10 carousel thing dedicated to your wedding and like how fun it was. So I'm like, I just don't, that just doesn't feel like something I want to do anymore.
This is a good conversation. Like, is, I saw a threads about this, spending time on threads, is like posting on your grid genre now, and it just kind of is.
Yeah,
sad.
It just is.
So it's blink and you'll miss it.
I mean, I've thought about it for a while because I just basically am like, I don't know. I find it just annoying, so I don't do it. But at the same time, yeah, when like it just depends who it is, I guess. Depends on the context, but I think for the most part, grid posting is Jada. Like the way Dua Lipa does.
Yeah.
But also hers feels kind of natural because she posts a lot. I think it's more Jada when someone doesn't post and then they do post a random like slideshow and you're like, you've obviously, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is grid posting Jada?
Yeah, it's a important and fundamental question for our time.
I just feel like I have nothing that I will ever want to share again. I have these two animals.
I know.
Like, I literally have a puppy and a kitten and I haven't grid posted them. And I often think about that because I feel guilty, because I'm like, they deserve to be loved and shown that I love them. And people don't even know I have a dog and a cat. Like,
I know.
You don't, but then, and then I think about how when you don't grid post or you don't show what you're doing, people think you're not doing stuff. But then I'm like, people just aren't thinking about you.
It's true, but that, no, there is a thing. Like, I feel, for example, if I hadn't grid posted the L covers, it would have felt like less. Like, if it had just been stories, it would have somehow felt like less of a thing. I feel like because the grid is now so much more elusive, people are like, oh, you're grid posting, it's got to be something special. I think,
yeah,
it like puts a line in the sand around something. It's strange. Yeah,
yeah, I feel that. And I think then grid posting, so like it makes sense for like getting a job as like the editor of a magazine, but it feels random to post when you're just writing a story.
Yeah, I don't know,
that's not momentous enough, you know. I don't think. Like, I, like, never post that I'm writing for, like, Vogue Business or anything. But I'm like, that just went on my stories and it's gone. It feels like more of
a stories thing. Yeah. But
it's just gone forever. So if someone missed that 24-hour thing, they would just not know that. But then also, do they need to know that? Or, like, even things about in my personal life. Like, I've never posted a ma.
Yeah. But I think that's
good. I've never posted a ma or my cat or my dog or said anything about, like, yeah, what's, or like even, yeah, I don't know.
This is the future though. People are just moving off. People are bored of living online. And we're getting some mystery back, and I love it.
Some mystery, but except not for us, because if anyone wants to know any thought,
like, that's literally in this what brain. We had for breakfast. Yeah. I know, it's so funny.
I've got it back into listening to Poog, and I love it. I stopped listening for so long, so I was just like, you guys are annoying. And then I just got back on and listened to 4 episodes straight in a row. And they were talking about how thinly they chop their lettuce and their salads.
I honestly want to hear about that.
Yeah, micro-chop Kate's into.
Micro-chop, okay.
At the moment.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I need right now. I'm in such a, like, I'm in that exact headspace right now. I have no space for anything that's not very, very silly.
Yeah, you should just put them on. I love having it on when I'm like, I needed to unpack all my shit in my house. I've literally somehow lost a whole bag of things. And I only know that because it had my gym gear in it, and I cannot, it's nowhere. It's gone. Like, I don't have a single sports bra, and I need that often. And like, it's just not in my car, not at my old house, not at my new house.
Where's it gone?
I have no fucking clue, but I was like unpacking to Poog.
Things like that torture me because I'm like, it's somewhere in the world. Like, it exists. Mm. It's there. It's sitting there right now.
Yeah, it makes you go crazy.
Yeah.
The same thing happened. I took my AirPods out of my ears and they've gone. And I'm like,
yeah.
The peacock's eating them.
Okay, what's on? Okay, so the Drake Kendrick, this is the way that this has, like, in a very unexpected way, taken over my life, the Kendrick Drake beef. I think it's just where I'm at right now, where I need my brain to be entirely empty. I thought about this all weekend. I've watched, like, YouTube, Twitch streams of people reacting to these songs. I have been in the depths, the darkest depths of Twitter. I'm obsessed. I feel like this is one of the biggest, genuinely, I feel like this is one of the biggest things to happen to pop culture in a really long time. And I feel like a lot of people don't quite appreciate it yet.
No, it kind of scares me.
Like, I know everyone's talking about it, but it's like, he's literally buried Drake. I feel.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's kind of, like, I don't really like hearing that Kendrick Lamar fucking beats the shit out of his wife.
I don't know if I believe it, but maybe I'm just being a tragic Kendrick stan. This is like, so for anyone who doesn't know, there's this huge Kendrick Lamar Drake beef going on that's like these escalating, it's like a rap battle, it's escalating allegations being made through these rap songs that they're posting about one another. Kendrick.
It started with, like, this latest batch. They've obviously, like, had beef behind the scenes for ages. But this was, like, Drake released a song with J. Cole called First Person Shooter. And he basically said that didn't he say, like, the big three?
They said the big three was Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick. And then he said on the verse on the next song, no, it's just me. I think that's just a fair assessment.
And then Kendrick says, it's just him. And then Drake releases another diss track called Push Ups. So this is April 13.
Yeah.
And
he said, how the fuck you big steppin' with a size 7 men's on? All of these rap disses are just centralized around feet and foot sizes.
I know. And then Drake released another one on April 19th called Tailor Made Freestyle. And is that the one that he deleted because he used the AI generated Tupac and Snoop Dogg voices in it?
He like AI generated a Tupac verse for his song, which is so tragic. And Snoop.
And then Snoop released the funniest Instagram about it, just being like super. He just posted his face in the video, being like, "They did what?" And they said, "Who?" And who said what?
It's such a Drake thing to do. Like, I like love Drake. We've been to see Drake live, like, love his bops, but he is Jare, and like there's nothing more Jare than getting an AI verse, particularly by Tupac.
Yeah, he is so fucking Jare. So then Tupac's estate threatened to sue Drake. And so he deleted that song. But in it, he was saying, like, the reason Kendrick hadn't responded in a week was because Taylor Swift had released the Tortured Poets Department.
And then Kendrick released Euphoria, which was pretty, pretty good is the song, but pretty gnarly, where he, like, brings up, like, the BBL rumors, which won't stop. And he basically ends that one by saying, like, the tone of it is nicer. He says, like, I love Drake's music. I love J. Cole's music. Like, I don't want to fight with either of you guys. But then he says, like, there's something about Drake that just bothers him and he hates when he uses the N-word. And he said, just stop doing it because it's fucking cringe. So there was, like, big kind of shots fired energy, but it hadn't got that heavy yet. But he kind of said stuff like, be careful what you're saying about me because I have ammo on you, which I guess everyone says in a rap battle.
On Hunter Harris's Substack, Hung Up, she's like, Kendrick Lamar calls him a selfish culture vulture. Which is kind of true.
I just don't understand, like, Drake. To me, it's a sign of, like, how egotistical and delusional Drake's gotten that it even crossed his mind to get into this beef with Kendrick Lamar, because I know there's always been conversation about who is better, but it's not even really a conversation. It's like Kendrick Lamar's won a Pulitzer Prize. It's like he's, from a total lyrics point of view, he's on a totally different stratosphere to Drake, and Drake's like really famous and hitmaker or whatever. I just don't understand Drake trying to get into a war of words with him. It just seems insane to me.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was just thinking, because it's funny, he keeps like bringing that up in the songs as well.
Yeah.
How he's just like, oh, everyone just like loves you, but you're fucking shit.
Yeah, he's got like he's just so out, like, outpaced. It's crazy.
Yeah. But anyway, the most recent ones, like the ones I was listening to was Drake's, was Family Matters, Meet the Grahams, I'm trying to find, and Not Like Us.
So in Family Matters is pretty good, and Drake crushes the Good Kid, Mad City van in the music video, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, I like Family Matters a lot, and I like Not Like Us a lot. Family Matters is Drake, and Not Like Us is Kendrick.
Family Matters is where he basically, Drake says, he accuses Kendrick of beating his fiance, Whitney Alford, and of that one of his children is fathered by Dave Free, who's like his creative director and manager. And then Drake uploaded that and it was pretty good. But then 37 minutes later, Kendrick...
37 minutes.
Like, Kendrick dropped Meet the Grahams, which is like probably the most brutal thing I've ever listened to. It like... It's like a takedown of Drake's entire personality and character and core. And it accuses him of being a pedophile, the OVO, like his crew having pedophiles, like basically being a pedophile ring. And says that he's like Weinstein and he should die in jail. Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah. And doesn't he say, he says that he has an 11-year-old daughter that no one knew about, and then Drake later says that was like leaked by his team and it's not true.
Yeah. So the Meet the Grahams is split into four verses, and each one's like addressed to a different person in Drake's family. The first one is to his son Adonis, and the first line is, "Dear Adonis, I'm sorry that man is your father." It's so crazy. Yeah. And then the third verse is to an 11-year-old girl that he says is another child that Drake hasn't acknowledged, because obviously that's how Adonis came to light, is Pusha T rapped about him and then Drake had to admit that he was real and like 3 years old.
Yeah.
And then Kendrick did Meet the Grahams and then Not Like Us, and Meet the Grahams is very like slow and it's got like this single piano like quite haunting slow thing, and then Not Like Us is a bop, and I feel like that was very intentional because I think he wanted to like beat Drake in his own game a little bit, like make a song that's like a popular pop song. And he succeeded.
It's such a good song.
It's such a good song.
I like have it just stuck in my head.
Same. It's so good.
And I just, yeah, I love, I just think it gets dark because obviously Kendrick is accusing Drake of being a pedophile, which is fucking heavy. And then Kendrick's accusing, wait, what did I just say? Other way around.
And then
Drake's accusing Kendrick of like beating his fiance, and it's just so, both of the like very heavy accusations, and like it's hard with these things to just keep it lighthearted and be like, this is so fun and funny. And also it just reminds me of like the Tupac Biggie stuff where they had this ongoing feud, they rapped about each other, and then it's like someone just gets shot and dies. And someone got shot outside of Drake's house yesterday.
Yes, but did you see with that, people were saying that like people are, the media narrative around that is that it's got to be something to do with Kendrick, but Drake is fighting on all fronts right now. He is in some sort of war with The Weeknd, and people are saying that's the actual thing that's really going on. And apparently The Weeknd's security guard was shot in a drive-by last Saturday. Sorry, not The Weeknd. The Weeknd's manager, who's called Cash XO, I think. He had his security guard shot in a drive-by last Saturday. And
what the fuck?
They're saying that that's so actually crazy. A retaliation for that, and the Kendrick thing's like a kind of whatever.
So scary. Herring.
It is crazy. We haven't really seen like...
Well, you're going to go shoot people because you're having like a fight. And also it's public.
I don't know how it's all going to play out. I think what was exciting for me was just this idea of these two very talented people like making some of the best work they've made in this very quick succession as this tit for, like, that is so amazing to see that happen. And I think the idea of it escalating to violence feels so fucking stupid.
I mean, that's what, like, Drake, was it Drake saying that in, like, the latest one? Where he was just, like, got you up in the studio, like.
Yeah.
And he was, like, this was a good, he was just, like, thanks for the vocal practice, or, like, the lyric, like, the practice in writing lyrics really fast.
Drake sounded so depressed in the last one he did. He was, like, someone said he's, like, slumped over in the studio with a glass of whiskey and a cigar, just being, like, oh, God, I've got to do this again.
The last one was pretty hectic because he was basically saying that the reason Kendrick's accusing him of being a pedophile is because he was sexually assaulted as a kid.
Which is, like, really, like, I just think this whole thing to me is showcased that, like, Drake isn't very clever, or he's, like, not as good at what he does as he thinks he is, because what he's, and that's the thing as well around what's so hard about these accusations they're throwing at each other. It seems from the way that they're talking to each other, like they don't know each other very well. So it seems like a lot of the accusations are pulled from like the internet and rumor mills and Reddits and like things that are in, Drake's pulling a lot of stuff from Kendrick's lyrics that I think is silly to do. Like, so the thing he's talking about saying, oh, like Kendrick was molested, which is like really fucked up to bring up. I know it's all fucked up, but that's just particularly gross. But there's a song called Mother Eye on Mr. Morale where Kendrick talks about how his mum was abused by a family member, and that when he was a kid, she kept asking him if his cousin had abused him, and he kept saying, no, he hasn't. And she didn't believe him because she was so convinced that it happened. And like him facing the trauma of that as an adult man, and like the inherited, and it's this amazing, amazing song about like generational trauma and like blackness in America. And Drake's like, oh, you were molested. Like, I'm like, you're just not sophisticated enough to understand what he's talking about.
Yeah,
he's so annoying.
My favorite line is Kendrick's where he goes, you're trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor.
When I heard that, I was like, this is this is history. And then Drake did a really embarrassing comeback to that. He was like, yeah, A minor, gotta be sharp, down on the D flat, D major. Like, it just made no sense. He needs to give up.
Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen now. I hope they'll just... Not that I hope they'll stop, because I like hearing new Kendrick songs, but I think we need a pause because the songs are getting worse.
Yeah, I think it was... So Kendrick said in Not Like Us he's got 5 more in the vault, which is so crazy. Oh, heaven.
Okay.
He's got a whole album for Drake, like, dedicated to hating Drake. I think the problem now
is... What's the Weeknd drama?
Yeah, the Weeknd drama is something to do with the fact that the Weeknd refused to sign on Drake's label. And I think they've had, like, escalating problems. But he has problems with everyone. Like, we totally miss this. Like, he sucks. Like, he...
Yeah, he sucks.
ASAP Rocky rapped about how he had sex with Drake's baby mama first, which is funny. And then Drake was like, well, who do you think I was having sex with when you were having sex with her? Like, look at the timeline, which is also funny because it's obviously Rihanna. And then he goes, yeah, and she was like shit in, like, average in bed anyway or something.
Who?
Drake said that about Rihanna.
Oh, fuck
off. Yeah, like, he sucks. Like, and that shit Kendrick says about him, that he, like, so much of his persona is being, like, a little pussy and just, like, shitting on black women. Like, that is so much of what he does because he doesn't. I think that's all really fair criticism. And I think his whole thing, he is fucking seedy and gross towards teenage girls. It is so weird that he was texting Millie Bobby Brown when she was 13. I don't know. I just think it's hard now. We're in this no man's land of, like, making accusations like that to each other and then having no expectation that you have to prove it just puts, like, the public in a very awkward position.
Yeah, I find it really funny when Kendrick's, like, just being like, yeah, you use your blackness to, like, get ahead kind of thing.
Yeah, he calls him a colonizer.
He called him a colonizer.
He says he goes to Atlanta to get street cred when it helps him and then ignores it. And I'm like,
well. I read that as that he goes to Atlanta to perform shows there and take their money.
And that's
why he's a colonizer.
Right. Yeah.
Like, when he's, like, broke, he'll, like, go to Atlanta and perform there and then take all their money and then fuck off. I also, from a, like, one thing I know about Drake is that one of his best friends is Zach Bier. And, like, him being best, I've always, like, wondered why he's best friends with Zach Bier. And to be fair, when I met him, he was, like, a nice boy. And I could understand why people would, like, want to hang out with him. But I was also, like, with someone like Drake, it just feels like things are more calculated. And basically, Zach just has, like, access through... He works at this place called H-Wood. And they basically own every single nice restaurant in LA. So, like, the Nice Guy, Delilah, all those fancy spots that the Kardashians are always at. And I'm pretty sure there's something going on business-wise behind the scenes. Like, some Christian-esque shit. Where, like, either Drake's got percentage and, like, something with making... It's just... It's, like, all money and it's all fucking fake shit.
Mm-hmm.
And also just, like, your best friend being just, like, this white guy, this rich white guy.
Well, it's everything about him feels... Like the stuff with the love child, all the stuff with Rihanna and Serena Williams, it all always feels very forced and very fake and very, like... Yeah, strategic and calculated. And you look at, like, Kendrick and Drake are both men in their late 30s. And Kendrick, like, lives this, like, quiet life out of the limelight. He's got the same partner he's had since he was in high school and 2 young kids. He just sits and, like, toils on his craft. And he's right. Drake is out in Turks and Caicos, like, fucking popping pills and hooking up with sex workers all the time. Like, there does come a point where you're like, this person just gives off bad energy.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much, I'm wondering as it's gone on, how much Kendrick actually knows something versus just reading into the public mood of Drake and making crazy accusations.
Yeah, I mean, the 11-year-old daughter thing was a bit of a mess. I felt embarrassed about that.
I felt embarrassed about that too. But then Drake basically said that his team had leaked to someone on Kendrick's team. And everyone's like, who's the mole?
yes.
Who this idea of the 11-year-old daughter. But then someone said on a Twitch stream I was watching, which is true, like, if you were doing that, would you not have filmed it or have text receipts or have something that it just would have been way smarter to just leak and make him look really stupid straight away? Like, is that, like, there's a world in which he's just saying that because it's a good comeback and he never has to actually prove it.
As in, he's saying that no one, that it's not true that his, you're saying people are speculating it's not true Drake leaked it.
Yeah, because they're saying, like, if you sat with your team and came up with it, is it not?
Would you not have, like,
filmed, yeah, record you I saying it to someone and then you release that as a tape and that's, like, way better?
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
I found it really interesting that if that was true, why would Drake immediately come out on social media and do a video claiming that he doesn't have a daughter?
Exactly.
Like, it's like, if this was all calculated, why would that be your response? Would your response not be immediately, we've leaked this to Kendrick?
Exactly. And even his response was like everyone was saying, Kendrick, you're a pedophile and have an 11-year-old daughter. Drake, I don't have an 11-year-old daughter. Like, it's just so, he spent so much more time on that.
Yeah.
And in his song, he was like, I'm not a pedophile. Like, he literally said, I'm too famous to be a pedophile. He was like, I'm too famous. By now, I would have been caught. I was like, crazy excuse.
I screenshot what Hunter Harris was saying in this final song. So she goes, Kendrick calls him a master manipulator and here Drake brags about his manipulations. A deadbeat father calling another man a deadbeat father. It's a weird non-response delivered with unconvincing performance of being nonplussed. Drake is the king of misdirection, but I expected you would compare me to Jeffrey Epstein is weird and only bolsters Kendrick's point that Drake is not like the rest of us. He also keeps trying to make us care that Kendrick's partner Whitney doesn't follow him on Instagram, the most high school suspicion to raise, claiming he's too famous to get away with sexual abuse, is the if I did it of our time.
Like, literally, it's really crazy. And he goes, I just want Whitney's, not Millie Bobby Brown's. And everyone was like, no one brought up Millie Bobby Brown before now. Like, that's you putting her in the song. Like, it's so...
But I guess that was, like, the insinuation.
It was a little bit, but I'm just like, don't draw attention back to that.
Okay, should we move on to Galliano for anyone who is less invested in this than us? But if you are less invested, please listen to Not Like Us and please listen to Family Matters and then make your way through the rest.
Yes.
It's so annoying because when you go on Spotify, I go to Drake and Kendrick and it just shows the latest song. Like, I can't find, like, unless I search the actual song titles.
Yes, agree.
Which I'm losing track of. I can't fucking find just a succinct list. But then someone's made a playlist.
Love it. I will say my last prediction / like fan fiction is I think Kendrick, because now Kendrick has to respond. Drake's last song was pretty lame, but Kendrick has to respond. So I'm just like waiting with bated breath, but I reckon he's going to do a song with Rihanna. That's my big.
I don't know if she would do that.
I think she fucking hates Drake and so does ASAP. And I think the opportunity to do a full smackdown is appealing. But I know she hasn't been in the studio for ages.
Yeah. I don't know. I would like... Because it's also like, what if you've dated a guy a decade ago? I don't know. I would just be like, what the fuck is he going to say? Like, nothing is off limits for him.
Yeah, that's true.
About, like, having sex with me. Like, it's just disgusting. Like, him already saying that she's, like, not good in bed. It's like, what's he gonna say?
That's true.
Like, I don't know. I just would be like, absolutely am not.
I just feel like if everyone... Like, my feeling is if everyone... He's fighting with The Weeknd, Kendrick, Kanye, Future, Rihanna, ASAP Rocky, Rick Ross. Like, the list of people that he's pissed off, I'm just like... There is a world in which everyone is just behind the scenes so sick of his shit and knows a lot about him and is just seeing this as, like, the moment. But I also...
So interesting, him and The Weeknd fighting. I guess it makes complete sense because they're, like, so such similar, like, levels.
Yeah, and they're both in Toronto.
I love when I can't remember if I said this on the pod already, but I love Tyler, the Creator, so much now, even though I'd, like, never listened to his music before his Coachella performance. And he brought Donald Glover out. Did I say this? And then when Donald Glover walked off stage, everyone was cheering. And then Tyler goes, "I used to hate that M word." And then everyone was like, "What?" And he was like, "I hated him. I have no idea why, but I just fucking hated that guy. I'd watch his shit. I'd say that's corny as fuck. I just thought he was a fucking loser. And then I was like, I have to go to therapy about this. Like, this is just me hating another black man. Like, la, 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 la." And then when he brought ASAP out, he goes, "I used to hate that N-word too." It's like people do pin you against each other in these careers. Like, they say you can't be successful, like, both of you at the same time. Like, la, la, la. There'd just be, like, a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, and then Tyler said that it was the people around him and ASAP, like, speaking shit about each other to them to try and make them hate each other.
Yeah, that's for sure what's happening with this. And that's the thing, I don't want it to escalate further, because it's like the Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion stuff, where it's like they're making great songs and it's a fun public spectacle, but it's also, like you say, it's like creating this narrative of, like, there being only space for one person to exist in this area, which is crazy. But then I fight with myself, because I'm like, conflict is not always a bad thing. Like, it's not necessarily a terrible thing for society for two powerful people to fucking hate each other. Like, that can be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you should kind of get along with everybody. Other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah. It's like Nicki Minaj and fucking Megan Thee Stallion all over again.
I know.
People talking about feet sizes.
Yeah.
We hate and is off limits.
We don't like to hear it. Whitney, just with her dignified silence. Yeah, okay, we move on.
Yeah, I'm just aware that we're 40 minutes in and all we've talked about is your hens and then Drake and Kendrick, and I'm like, people are interested in the wedding, but people may not be interested in this. I am.
I am.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, let's talk about... Maybe we could even go a little bit longer for this one, since we're leaving for a while.
Going offline.
Okay, so John Galliano. So I saw the John Galliano documentary a few weeks ago, but it wasn't out in the States or a movie for you until recently. So you've just watched it, so we can finally talk about it, which is great. This is a documentary about the rise and fall of John Galliano, rise and fall and rise. And it's kind of part of a... what seems like quite a calculated comeback moment for him with the Margiela show and the discussion about the Met Gala and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So we talked about it yesterday on the Patreon when we were talking about the Met, but just about how, like, Loewe might have been the sponsor of the Met officially, but it was like Margiela's fucking carpet.
Mm.
Like, Rachel Tashian for the Washington Post actually wrote a piece about it. Just talking about, yeah, like, he's also in this documentary, which is called High and Low, it shows how long his friendship has been with Anna Wintour. And basically saying, like, that it seems, as you say, that with the couture collection and with the documentary, it's sort of trying to give him, like, a public return for the designer, even a new job, or at least the opportunity for him to be less private, less apologetic, or less guilty. So he drew 6 guests, far fewer than Loewe, but they were names with big impact. Zendaya, she hadn't been to the Met in 5 years. Kim Kardashian. Everyone's talking about Kim Kardashian's corset, which is great. Yeah. I didn't realize that was like a discussion on the internet, but everyone's being like, this is just looks like unhealthy and not good.
I hadn't seen some of the angles that I've since seen when we talked yesterday, and it does look quite terrifying.
Yeah. So then Bad Bunny, the most influential male musician in the world of style. Wow, she says. Gwendolyn Christie, who, yeah, was on Vogue's live stream for nearly 3 hours of us looking at that. And Natasha Poonawala, I don't know who that is, a London School of Economics grad with many close friends in the fashion industry, and actor Adrian Brody. Yeah. Galliano was not there, but he hovered over the evening.
So I think, like, up top, what the documentary does, and I think it's good to, like, start the discussion, is just, I think, a reminder of how what he said and how heinous it was, because I think, like, the fact that it's been however many years, 15 years, can dampen it a little bit. And it's, he went on 3 separate, like, extremely vile, and I don't even, I, like, no one wants to say the words, but, like, anti-Semitic to the furthest point you can imagine of anti-Semitic. Like, sometimes it gets obscured by people saying it was anti-Semitic. Like, it's literally hideous what he said. And I think it hovers, like, on this exact borderline of, like, what is acceptable to let a person back into society and that's really what the documentary is about. It's like,
yeah, I like how the documentary literally opens with the video the person took. So he was at Café La Perle, which is one of my favorite places in Paris. I was like, Jesus, it's been featured like 3 times. I had no idea it was there. Yeah. I go there every single time I'm in Paris and sit outside there. And that was where Galliano did 2 separate incidents of, like, racism. And it was the first, so basically the one that got him reported, like the one that took off in the press, was him being really racist to these Asian people at Café La Perle. They went to the police station and reported him, not even knowing who he was, for being racist and, like, aggressive. And then that came out in the newspapers the next day, and it was, like, this huge big scandal. And then basically because of that, it prompted these other people to come forward who had filmed him 2 weeks ago being anti-Semitic to them, even though they weren't even Jewish. Mm-hmm. He was just basically being, like, just saying, like, pro-Hitler stuff and just being crazy and really contrarian.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, watching this, he's explaining himself, but he's doing such a bad job of explaining himself in the sense that I was like, have you actually, like, okay, I know he's saying that in the years since, so he was basically fired from Dior straight afterwards, like, people like Natalie Portman, who was like a Dior ambassador and she's Jewish, like, spoke out. Like, there was this huge like thing about, like, how racist and anti-Semitic it was. And then it was funny because he says that he, like, tried to find himself after, and he was another massive point of this is that he was, like, really, really suffering from alcoholism and, like, drug dependency.
Mm-hmm.
And he was absolutely sloshed off his fucking, like, face at the time.
Literally blackout.
Like, blackout. Yeah. And he said that he, like, tried to, like, figure out why. But then in the documentary, the way he was explaining it, he was just like, I still don't know why. Like, basically people were like, why Jewish? Why
mm-hmm.
were you doing that to Jewish people and why not other people? And I was like, from my perspective, I thought he was literally just trying to say, like, he was saying, like, through growing up in society and all the things, you know, whatever, like, we're all racist. Like, he was basically saying that, like, we are all racist in a way, and, like, we all have to unpick that and unlearn it and whatever. But I was like, I felt like he was saying the worst thing you could possibly say. And that was why he was saying it. Like, I don't even think it was like he was specifically targeting Jewish people. I feel like he was like, what is the worst fucking insult I can say that's going to make these people think I'm like the craziest person in the world? Okay, I love Hitler.
I think that's such a big part of it, I felt too, and that was part of the narrative arc, was like he was self-imploding so much that it almost felt like he was going out in public, probably subconsciously, because he was like so fucked that he wasn't making conscious decisions. And I totally agree, like saying the most heinous things that could come out of his mouth to try and destroy his own life, I think, or so, like it was some
just,
sort of
just to like he was wanting to impulse. Shock those people. Mm-hmm. He was like wanting to shock them as much as he possibly could. That's how, because they weren't even Jewish. Like, he was just like, just trying to, like, he was saying she was ugly. He'd already been racist towards Asian people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like it was only Jewish people. He's just like saying anything at all that is like the worst things you could possibly say to, like, yeah, I just feel like he wanted to shock.
And I think this is where this is really what the documentary is about, and what like the conversation now that we're all going to have is about, is like, he doesn't understand his behavior, and he's like a frustrating interviewee in the documentary because he's an addict and he doesn't understand why he's behaved the way he's behaved, because he's, you know, it's like easy for us to say from the outside, but why did you say that? What did you actually feel when you're an addict and in active addiction and 95% of your life is a blur where you're not even cognitively doing anything? It's very hard to go back and rationalize, well, I did this because of this and X because of Y. And it's like we have to be able to have a difficult conversation about the fact that addicts do terrible, terrible things and also are deserving of forgiveness and second chances.
Yeah, I like Charlize Theron's point in it. Like, she was just like, she basically said exactly what you said. She was like, my own father pointed a gun at me and tried to kill me when he was drunk. Like, you just can't rationalize everything that happens. But it's, I think what people are getting at is like, is basically why was that where his brain went to versus anywhere else kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I genuinely was like, cause it's the worst thing you can possibly say. Like, there's not really anyone else in fucking history that has a name more recognizable for being the most heinous, evil person in the world than Hitler.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a single person when it comes to like what happened to like in black slavery that's like as well known, that would just be as shocking. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. That was like what I thought from it. And I just was like, I just feel like also that's like the most simple explanation.
There's also a myth, I think, like, and they have an expert talk about it in there. In the documentary, like, what do they say? In vino veritas, like this idea that you say when you're the most fucked up what you truly think. Like, it's the filter of thing goes. Mm. And I even know from my own life, I might have talked about this before. It's just so not true. It's not true. I've said I don't really get blackout. Like, I can think of maybe one or two times in my life where I've truly had, like, blackout gaps. And there was one time I did, where the next day I'd said something that really upset my friend and she told me, and it was like, it's very difficult to explain because someone can't get inside your head, but I was like, I have never thought that about you. Like, I literally do not know where that came from. Like, I was like, there are things that I have like resentments with you about, or like things that if I said that the next day I'd be like, oh fuck. But it literally was like this thought that I had never consciously had before. And that was the first time where I was like, yeah, it's and then if you add to that pills and months of abuse, I don't believe that is accurate, that you say when you're most drunk, like your deepest, darkest, truest feelings.
No. Also, when you're drunk, I feel like it's like you can say something you've never thought before, but like if you're trying to hurt someone, you can just like figure out what maybe they... It's like you're wasted and you're trying to like figure out what will hurt them. So you can just...
Yeah.
Say something.
Yeah. Conjure up something terrible. I think it's like, I think multiple conversations, like to talk about John Galliano feels so difficult. And I think right now the rehabilitation arc of him feels like particularly bad timing. There's obviously been like a big rise in anti-Semitism alongside a big rise in Islamophobia in the last 6 to 8 months. And I think that doesn't feel like the right moment to be ushering in this redemption arc of him. So I think part of that makes me just be like, oh, like, why are we so desperate to forgive, like, white men for the things that they do? But then the other part of me thinks that that's very, like, ungenerous and unsympathetic, and that the idea that you should be defined by the worst thing you've ever done for the rest of your life is also doesn't feel right. So I just don't, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I guess what everyone else was saying is like, it felt like such a huge loss for the fashion industry.
Yeah.
Because he's such an incredible talent, and he's like clearly had these addiction issues. It's just like an interesting conversation because, yeah, how much should one, I don't know, be forgiven publicly? But I guess he's just had this Margiela job for a while, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, exactly. He was working, and he got that pretty soon after this happened. Like, it's. I think the question is coming up because he is so talented. He's probably the greatest living fashion designer. I mean, he kind of just is, and we're not really in a position as a society to like be that callous with people that create art like that. That we're just like, nah. Like, you can't work anymore. Like, I just think that that's what makes it... I think what makes it difficult is not that whether or not someone should work. I don't think that's anyone's... No one should have the right to say that. I think it's the fact that when you are a top-tier designer like that, you don't just have a job. You're, like, paid so much money. You're globally famous. You're, like, applauded. You're surrounded by celebrities. You're, like, you know, all of that side of it, I think, is the side that people find unpalatable.
Yeah.
Which is why he's been, like, hiding in the shadows this whole time.
I found, like, I liked the early days of the documentary because I just hadn't even seen that much into his super early years of creating. And it was so cool how the fashion industry did rally around him when he had absolutely no money, like, all of the models working for free and, like, everything like that.
It felt like such a different era, just how much simpler everything was, and how if you just had the right people behind you, you could take off. Maybe that is still true now. I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm zoning out because I'm in a deep conversation with someone about something for your pins party.
Can it wait?
And it can't wait. What else?
I think the rumors are that they want to put him in at Givenchy because they've had back-to-back kind of Matthew Williams. Is it Williams or Williamson? I always forget. That was pretty unsuccessful. Claire Waitkeller didn't really work out, even though I thought that was quite nice. So I think all of this is this intentional thing to, like, test the waters, get people reacquainted with him, and then put him back at Givenchy, which is where he was forever ago. And that would be so... It would just feel so major for some reason, even though he's been at Margiela. It would just feel like such a huge thing to have him back, like, in the mix in a more mainstream house.
Yeah, it's crazy because Margiela, like, to me, I know Givenchy's bigger, but Margiela is just so much more relevant to me.
It's, like, cooler, but I think it's so much smaller from a, like, I don't know, like, global scale. Like, I think he would do more stuff like what he used to do if he was there again.
Yeah.
Just how, like, theatrical and costumey a lot of it was, I'd forgotten about. It was so, like, amazing to watch. But I do feel like that filmmaker wasn't a fashion person. Like, I feel like he didn't put the best looks in.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, it's funny. It's just, yeah. I mean, it has been, like, in the past 6 months, a lot of Galliano.
Yeah. He is as well just very charming and likable. I had a very, like, weird experience of watching it. Like, I feel like I felt just pulled. And
I don't find him that charming now. I find him kind of annoying now. Like, when he was, like, responding to the person, he just seemed kind of... Also, it was so funny showing how he used to walk down the runway.
I was dying. Like, I went to see it with my dad, who like loved it. I was trying to say to him afterwards, you don't understand how crazy that is for a designer to walk down the runway like that. Like, they come out mm-hmm. so sheepishly and bow and like run off. Him doing that in a costume is so funny.
In costumes, yeah. Ludovic did that at New York Fashion Week. He walked his entire runway at a look. It was so funny.
It could be like the long-awaited, you know, roaring 20s renaissance everyone talked about if we just suddenly had a return to that kind of like crazy show. But he's never going to do that again. Like, no one wants to see it.
Yeah.
I found it the most shocking that he didn't know there was multiple incidents. I was like, how is it possible that this is your life? And yeah. You went to court over this. It's ruined your entire reputation and career.
He thought the video that came out and the incident with the like Asian guy was the same night, but it was two different things.
I think there was a third as well, I believe.
Yeah.
I think like there was multiple
all and he La Pearl.
All thought it was one, and I was like, I don't know. To me, that like makes me question how much you've unpacked something.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not even sure of like when it was, and like the Asian guy was like, he said he came on the documentary because at the court case he said that he didn't think Galliano was racist, and then he came on this documentary and was like, I'm on this today because I feel guilty that I ever said that, like I do think he's racist. And the interviewer was like, why? And he goes, because he never apologized to me.
I think like that
he just thinks he's bigger than like God. He just would never think he'd have to apologize to this random man.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that it makes you, he's such a complicated, conflicting, and confounding figure, because as soon as you start to feel this like empathy for him or feel like he's thing, it's pulled away because of like that, something like that guy. And that guy was so essential to that documentary, because it's very easy to like see footage of something like that and think, oh, this like crazy man on the street. That's an aggressive hate crime that someone had to live with for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Like,
and it like really affected that man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so funny hearing those French women who like weren't even Jewish just be like, laughing at him being like, what's your fucking problem? Like, you can so just see one of those that happening.
I know,
just like a crazy drunk man just spewing shit to try and like rock you up, and they were just laughing at him.
It's also like you said, the God complex, like it does a really good job of showing how it's something the fashion industry isn't so bad as it used to be with this, I don't think. Like, there isn't really like a modern Galliano in that sense, but they've just put him on such a pedestal. He was put on such a pedestal and expected to do so much. And like the level to which he was burnt out was just insane.
Yeah. Cause he was like, it's not normal for like people to be handing me a cigarette, one person to be standing backstage holding me a cigarette, another person to be lighting it. Like,
yeah, that was the,
that's
that was
not like normal behavior.
Thing. He said there was four people lined up, one person handed him the cigarette, one person lit it, one person had the ashtray for him to tap into.
Yeah.
Like, of course you're going to go fucking insane. Yeah. And the level of like drugs, like that was another very specific part of that time, like how open the use of like drugs and drinking at work and smoking at work, and like the crossover of that was obviously a big part of it too. And his right-hand man dying, which is very, very tragic as well.
Yeah, that was so sad.
That obviously had a really big role to play in his, like, breakdown.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be that guy, like, fucked him over or something.
Yeah. Such an unlikely, like, I just loved all the shots of them. They're like, this is unlikely duo.
Yeah, I know. They were like, was there anything sexual between them? I was like, that just feels like there's nothing to do with anything. They were like, no.
He's just curious.
Yeah.
Loved seeing Kate, loved seeing Naomi.
I know, Naomi's so annoying though.
Yeah, she was like, I don't need to watch the video.
Yeah.
I know who my friend is.
Which I, at first I was like, oh my God. And then she was like, I know him like in his soul. And I was like, I guess that makes sense. Like, you don't need to see someone at their like worst drunken state if you don't believe that that's really them.
That's what I
mean. Like that he meant what he said.
That's what I mean. Like, it's a testament to him how deeply his friends love him and rally around him and stand by him now. And I think I was thinking that too. Like, it's easy to make fun of, but like, if you're like, you know, someone who's one of the dearest people in the world to you is, you see, having a breakdown in real time, falling into horrible addiction, and then there's something that they've done at their deepest spiral of that, you would be like, that's not them.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
I'll stand by you if you get drunk just walk shit on your hens.
Okay.
Let's go to La Pearl. We have to go to La Pearl for a little drink. I was like, this is good and bad advertising for this bar.
I know, that's so true. It's like good advertising that it was where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, crazy. I'm so glad you finally watched it.
Yeah, so glad. I really liked it. I also watched, and like, light news to sign off. Polly, please, shut up. Can you shut up? Can you? I don't know if you want to cut that. You can keep it or you cannot. I don't mind. But I watched the new Anne Hathaway movie.
Oh, I really want to watch
the fanfic.
How is it?
It was not that good, but it was a good watch. I also, sometimes when I think something's not that good, I know that so many of the girlies will like it and find it really moving.
That's okay.
It kind of reminded me of like Pretty Woman in a way, or like Notting Hill, not Pretty Woman, in a way. But I also, a little rec for you, because I think you'll like it, and we can talk about it next week, is, let's talk about this next week on the Patreon, everyone listen beforehand. It's Anne Hathaway did an interview on the New York Times new podcast, and it's good, because basically she talks about how, makes you feel like shit about our jobs, kind of, but she talks about how she like hates, she like rejects the form of like this journalism, and she finds it rude, and like she shuts down, and like la la la. And it was just a really interesting meta listen.
I'm so down to listen to that. Okay, I'm gonna listen and maybe watch.
Yeah, and also that after watching that movie, I had a sex dream about Harry Styles last night.
Oh, so it's about like a
it's Harry Styles fanfic.
Wow. Damn. I saw some discourse somewhere of someone being like, everyone's like, how is she 40? And everyone's like, have you seen a 40? Like, 40-year-olds is still young and hot. Like, people are like,
yeah.
And she looks 40, like, you know, like, that's not an insult. Like, she just is a hot woman.
I'm almost fucking 40. Like, how,
yeah,
how,
like, what do people think 40-year-olds look? So funny. That's just like young people being silly. Okay.
Well, must go.
Must go. Love you guys.
The next time I see you, we'll be in real life.
Paris. I'll be drunk getting off the Eurostar.
Bonjour. Bonsoir. Ça va. Ça va. Oh my God, yes.
You need to do your French.
Oh, I've forgotten it all, but I'll do some Duolingo on the plane for you.
Perfect. Oui, oui.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.